You are listening to Fees Always Wins, a financial podcast.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
We make huge rips.
No, I still don't know how it works.
But you and me, the brokers, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, the Duke and Duke get the commissions.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is the free market. Your part.
Yeah. Welcome back and thank you for joining us. This week we return with our new stock selections, discuss the trade war in the upscale Pelesi shoe store. We are joined by the co-host and scion of the Delta, Elo. I am Chris and we are Fees Always Win Investment Club show. Two investors on a journey to learn more on the strategy, indicators, and knowledge that it takes to become great investors. You could find us on Facebook, iTunes, and probably every other place you can get your podcast. Please call and leave a message on our voicemail line, 281-645-9205, and leave a rating on our iTunes page. If it's 5 stars, we will read it on the air. We are no longer using the Facebook business page for Fees Always Win and have transitioned to a fan page, which will hopefully mean less advertising. If you would like to support the show, you could sign up for a Robinhood account by following one of the two links in the show notes. Join Robinhood and we will both get a stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint for free. Depending on the link, one of the hosts will get a stock and you will get a free stock. And it's almost like a lotto. You're guaranteed a winner. You just don't know which stock they're going to give you. How are you doing? What's going on? And happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday. The Giants are up 24-14 to the Bears, so I'm happy right now. This is always an exciting time because we're going through our stock picks, which are basically going to be following. It's like picking your babies and following them, hoping they become successful. So I'm excited. I'm excited to hear what stocks you've been looking at. I'm excited to discuss with you my stocks and basically to figure out what's going to be our approach moving forward, you know, going away from what we thought before was tech companies because they can fluctuate, and then you had Bitcoin and different things like that. So I'm curious to see what type of companies you're looking at and investing in moving forward.
I'm curious as well, because as we talked about it before the show, I have about 6 picked, but haven't settled quite on the 4. I think I have a solid 3, but there's 3 that are almost a toss-up right now. But to at least give background and some frame of reference, the S&P 500 is currently at $2,760.16 a share. Over the last 3 months, the S&P 500 valuation has decreased by 4.71%. Over the past month, the decrease has been a negative 0.72%. That being said, or a positive 0.72%. So that's going to give me the range, and that's kind of how I help look at my stock. See what's, if the losses are in line with the overall market losses, or are they outliers? Because that's really what we're looking at for a goal. So for my first selection, I am going to select Nike. They have their current stock price is $74.92. Their ROIC percentage is 15, which is one of the reasons I chose it. And we're going to go over ROIC in a later episode, as P&E is a great evaluation to understand the profitability per share for a stock, as the tax return has really skewed what the P&E represent. That if normally a company says out of every dollar we make 7 cents this year, then you could say, hey, then it's a 7% profit per $100 share. But since every dollar making 7%, and that's with the increase of 25 cents to every dollar that was given back by the government, that 7% isn't an actual correct number, because now the P&E is going to say, oh, that's actually a 32% return on that 100. And that's not a correct assessment. So I'm using ROIC, which is at 15%. It takes in a lot more numbers, including pre-tax and tax income, to get a better understanding in the debts that are on the book. One of the reasons, I have a couple of reasons I chose Nike. Over the last 2 years, they've made a real drive, and you've probably noticed this if you shop at a store. Nike has lowered their output, but for a select amount of stores. They've lowered their distribution partners from its current slate of 30,000 retailers to focus only on 40 retailers. Another aspect is they're providing fewer styles to the market, 25% less. So instead of walking in the store and seeing the 20 selections of Kyrie Irving's, you're probably going to see three of them now. But where the rest of the styles are in the direct retail platform, online and offline. You can go to their direct Nike store and probably get all the collections of the Kyrie's that you want, or you can go online and customize and make your own colorways, which lowers the cost on Nike because now they're not shipping it to a store for it not to sell and not getting paid on it until it's reduced in cost. And the stores don't have to store it in the back for the one-off customer that wants the pink and orange colorways. So Nike is my pick for the next 10 weeks on this.
Okay. So Chris, that's a good pick. I actually was looking at Nike myself. That's so interesting. All right, so I looked at our past picks, and I looked at some of the better options we had based on what they did and how they performed. So I looked at TJ Maxx. I looked at different options where people would be able to get items at a certain price point. And I found a company. It's a newer company. It's on the rise. It's not necessarily in every state, but it's something I'm going to monitor and see how it goes. So it's called Ollie's Bargain Outlet. So it has a 52-week low-to-high ratio of $43.05 and a high of $97.61. PE ratio is at 44. It has 285 stores in 22 states, and it can expand 10% per year. Based on the projections, it's trading at 44 times the estimated earnings. So I'm taking a risk. I'm taking a chance more so, not necessarily in tech apps like I did before, not necessarily in cryptocurrency or things of that nature. I'm taking a chance on a company that could potentially be the next TJ Maxx, the next Ross, the next up-and-comer that over time starts to build a real following and expand. So I'm going to be following it over the next couple of weeks, just seeing where we are and the potential for growth. Because whenever you find a company like this that is starting to get name recognition and starting to build slowly, but starting to get traction, that's when you really want to try and capitalize on it and get in at a good price point as well. Because it's not at a high price point to buy in, but it can grow over time. So I'm curious to see where it's going to go in 2019.
Okay. I'm excited to look out for that one. My second one is a payment processor, PayPal. I wanted to invest in a payment processor in my portfolio, so I looked at MasterCard, I looked at Visa, I looked at Square, and PayPal. For the two of those, MasterCard and Visa, that does pay a dividend. That dividend is 0.5%. So that wasn't a huge focus in my investment strategy with them. I'm confident in the payment processors as that a lot of people aren't using cash, that payments are going straight into deposit accounts, and people actually really don't touch the cash for the most part. And most transactions are now online. They indicate that 25% of our online, our Black Friday had more sales online than offline this year. And 25% of those sales particularly came from Amazon. So I realize PayPal does not have an Amazon payment system at this time that Visa and other accounts are being used for them. But on other websites, PayPal is the trusted processor as they have the dispute resolution option. That if you buy something online from a buyer, whether it's through Facebook, whether it's through anything, and the buyer pays the fees as they supposed to, if the buyer doesn't hold up their part of the bargain, send the product, misrepresented it, or anything, then the customer is assured they'll get their money back. So on this stock, the rate of the ROIC is 11%, so they're well valued. They spun off of eBay more than a decade ago at this point. Their growth for the trailing three is their losses are much higher than the S&P 500 at 6.67% negative growth over the last 3 months period. This last month, which does include Black Friday and the holiday shopping, payments are up 1.94. What you're going to see, which is common in one of my other stocks, is I use these products on a regular basis, and that's part of my investment in it, is that I use PayPal when I subscribe to certain podcasts, when I pay my Skype bill, and then I also use it if I'm buying something online. Sometimes I've gotten burned online. I recently have. It's going to take 30 days to get my money back if the product doesn't come in. But I've also bought other stuff to great success using PayPal. So that's my option. It's still easy to send money between friends and family at no charge to either of the parties. But I'm really enjoying using it as a payment processor in addition to my airline card. So PayPal, stock symbol PYPL, currently at 85.81, is my second stock.
Okay. And like you said, that's something that everybody uses. So it's something that everybody will watch and see what it does, because PayPal is changing the game. I remember I used to send money through MoneyGram or Western Union. Now I just type in the money on my phone, press a button, and that's it.
And it's so there.
I'm curious to see how that goes as well, Chris. For me, this time around when we pick stocks, I came up with a formula. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but I came up with my own formula. So for Ollie's Bargain Outlet, for me, that's the risk. That's the stock that's the risk that can have a high reward. So I'm going with a risk. I'm going with a company that I feel is stable. I'm going with a company that I feel is set to actually grow based on the need. And I'm also going to take a risk on the tech company, because even though tech companies can sway in both directions, there's one company in particular I'm curious to see what they're going to do. And you and I talked about this company before, Chris, so I'm curious to hear what you got to say about it. But my next pick is going to be Comcast. So the biggest thing for me with Comcast is they have a stable portfolio, and this is my safety stock. It's not necessarily a growth stock. It's more of a safety stock, because I feel like based on the beta scores and based on where it's projecting, this is one thing I can put my money in. I won't necessarily get a high profit, but at the same time, I'll get a steady growth. I feel like it's a modest risk, because with Comcast, it has that name recognition. It's a company that actually just had a merger with a different company, and based on that merger, it can go one way or another. But I'm hoping to see some type of gains based on the merger with a company called Sky. There's a $15 billion deal with Sky, and based on that deal, there's a potential 19% increase with Comcast. So being someone that used to have Comcast and deal with that company myself, kind of like with you and PayPal, it's one of those things where I feel like you go for something that you feel can balance out the rest of your picks. And for me, this is the balancer. This is the savvy bet out of the picks that's going to help stabilize and keep me in line with my projections with everything else. So I can take a risk, and then I can have this to balance out that risk. So for me, Comcast is the company that I'm going to be following just to see where they go as well.
Yeah, Comcast is an interesting one. I actually use Comcast Internet, but I don't have cable just because I'm stubborn and probably spend more on iTunes than it would cost me on cable to get the same shows. But one of the things I did notice, as my parents have Comcast at their house, is I remember years ago that barrier where Comcast wanted to deprioritize Netflix, Hulu, everything else, to the point now all those they have a portal through the Comcast box they put on your house to access Netflix, Hulu, and all of those stations. As they realize maintaining those customers require access to the products, that's technically a competitor. So I did find that part interesting. And the fact that they probably that they didn't get an opportunity or they couldn't come up with the correct amount of money to purchase Fox Studios did leave them the money to finish their complete purchase of Sky. They've already owned over 30% of Sky. This gives them the majority shares and gives them a portfolio that expands entirely north of the border as Sky is really focused in North America and the Canada area.
Exactly. So that's why I see, like I said before, it's a modest risk overall. But I'm looking into the future, seeing this as being the tick that's going to stabilize everything else. Kind of like how WWE before the Saudi Arabia craziness came about, kind of projected you in an upward tick last time around. Like that was your cash cow in a sense. So I feel like with Comcast, I don't necessarily see it just being 40%, but at the same time, I do see a steady growth with it, and that's kind of the stock that's going to help me stabilize everything else.
And so my next pick I picked for similar reasons is stability in my portfolio. And let me emphasize before I go any further, currently I do have shares in Nike personally. I plan on purchasing shares in PayPal and in Dollar Tree, but I am not currently an owner in it. Dollar Tree, stock symbol DLTR. Over the last 3 months, their growth is 7.86%. as the S&P has gone down 4%. So they have momentum 12% positive compared to the rest of the market. Their 1 month gross has been 3.3%, pretty much in line and above the S&P 500. One reason I picked it is price stability that I know around the holidays, especially my family, we have no problem going there, especially if we're getting gift wrapping. Certain items that you could buy that's only a dollar. You can get cleaning supplies there that's cheaper than going to Walmart for the same reason. The shopping experience isn't there, but I'm paying a dollar. How much can I really complain? And that's where I got like my balloons for my son's birthday, and I was able to get Spider-Man branded balloons. So Spider-Man, Paw Patrol, everything little kids like. They still have the brands that reflect positively on the market. They did acquire Family Dollar. Never been a fan of Family Dollar, though I've never really been around many Family Dollars. They're not as concentrated in the Houston area, nor in West Texas. There was a very limited concentration. They are doing a huge renovation on them. As I have a feeling Dollar Tree in the next 5 years are going to pivot to more of a Family Dollar format. As the rate of inflation is about 2%. Dollar Tree has existed for more than 15 years. So just averaging that out is 30% inflation, but that's not even compounding. How long can the product stay a dollar? They're either going to have to limit the scope of the amount of products that they carry, or they're going to have to raise their prices and start calling themselves the $2 Tree or just change their pricing scheme. Dollar General has done it with much success, as nothing there is really a dollar. It just costs a dollar amount. And Dollar Tree stores seem to be cleaner than most Dollar Generals. But because of their profit, because of their growth, their ROIC is at 12%. So their books are well managed and the management team there is having a lot of success. Dollar Tree will be my pick at $74.92.
Okay, Chris, I see. Because if nothing else, no matter where people are financially, Dollar Tree is a store that just about everybody can go to. It doesn't matter where you fit economically or whatever, because people of all statuses go to Dollar Tree. That's one of the most diverse places to shop at. So my next pick, this is my hopefully common sense pick. We were talking before about how versus the housing market. Now, cars are the vehicles that are starting to go up in pricing, but we all need vehicles. So looking at it from the standpoint, if you need a vehicle, that also means that those vehicles are going to have problems from time to time. My next stock pick is O'Reilly Auto. So after doing some research on O'Reilly, I compared this with AutoZone and Advanced Auto Parts, different companies. And I'm going with O'Reilly for the simple fact that shares are up 45%. It's a net market share gainer, and they have strong pricing power. And really, there's no threat from e-commerce parts. And overall, it's the parts that they have and the things that they have are complex. So you have to go to a store like this to get the parts for these vehicles, especially the newer vehicles. And with the increasing number and age of vehicles, basically, it's highly fragmented. So whether you have a 2005, 2012, 2015, at the end of the day, there's only a select variety of places you can go to get your parts. And based on where O'Reilly is projecting, based on the fact, like I said before, that they have that pricing power, I am going to invest heavily into them, because I see them as being a company that no matter what, they're going to make a profit, or at least I hope they will. Now, I'm curious to see how things change over the next couple of months, but unlike a lot of picks in the past where I was taking a chance on things I didn't necessarily know for sure, like you, Chris, with other places you shop, I've shopped at O'Reilly's. I've gotten parts there cheaper than I would anywhere else, and based on my prior experiences and based on being somebody that has had several issues with cars over the past couple of years, I know the importance of being able to get those parts at a cheaper price. I'm going with O'Reilly's. That's going to be my pick, my common sense pick, I hope. Now, with anything we do, things are subject to change over time. But for right now, O'Reilly's is my common sense pick.
We've really come full circle from the conversation on Bob Knight at Texas Tech with the O'Reilly logo. I had no idea that it was going to lead to this pick. Or I realize you had that pick before the conversation, but we did talk about that in the dividend this week.
Interesting. All
right. So my last one, I thought I would have it picked by this point. It's between Walmart, Salesforce, and World Wrestling Entertainment. As this show, we've never had a former pick and added them back. I might just monitor the WWE as it's something I'm personally invested in, especially after their 15% loss, which is related to insider investors taking profits, which their vice president, not named Triple H, took a bunch of profits out, over $10 million. As well as them participating in their Saudi Arabian pay-per-view soon after the journalist was killed in an embassy and the crown prince came up in that controversy as allegedly ordering that hit. So where I'm going to go with, as Walmart already have one in the retail sector with Dollar Tree, I'm going with Salesforce, CRM. Their management system that's often used in many businesses. We personally use it. Even my prior organization that I was with in a completely different industry uses Salesforce as well. It's highly adaptable to any organization. Its stock symbol is CRM. They went public about a year ago. Their current stock price is $142.82. Their ROIC is currently at 1%, so their margins are very small right now. Their trailing 3 growth is 6.11. Their trailing 1 growth is 3.19. One reason I did select the stock, as they pretty much had this market to themselves. Cisco originally got in the market. Salesforce made a more adaptable product. There's many of your favorite companies or companies you're invested in that are using the software. It's worked so well that even Microsoft has gotten into the CRM business. As I know, a major former Fortune 500 company that went private in the last 2 years has implemented the Microsoft version of it. But Salesforce, it's so easy to use, and once people are on it, it's becoming the industry standard that if you put that on your application that you have experience with the software, it could often differentiate you from somebody else who's going for that same opportunity. So Salesforce, I want to get into a software company that has contracts that once a company implements this, it's highly unlikely they're going to pivot to a competitor, especially in the first 5 years. Cost could be a concern as it continues to grow, and those margins are small. They're going to need to increase those margins. But I do feel confident in the next weeks heading into next year that Salesforce can continue to make money as many companies are still adding it to their workforce.
Okay, Chris. Walmart, I know we talked about the whole morality of it, but at the same time, it may be a company that serves you well. WWE, when it comes to stocks, yes, they are going through a time right now, but it's possible that over time people are going to gravitate back towards it. So that's something I'm curious to see as well. For me, my last pick, so to use a spade term, I have one in the possible. So when we first started picking stocks, Micron was a stock I was into. Micron, it fluctuated. It went one way, it went a different way. And now it's starting to, it's starting to balance out, in my opinion. But the company I'm looking at is Intel. I'm just curious to see where they're going to go going into 2019. I'm always curious to at least take a chance on one tech company. I wouldn't necessarily pick all tech companies because you never know what you're going to get. But with Intel, I'm taking a chance on them based on how things are looking promising going into 2019. I mean, they're up 47% in earnings from this point 12 months ago. The only thing about it is, trade wars and different things that may affect the company, those things I'm afraid of. But just based on the potential of this company in itself, I want to take the risk and see where it goes. I'm still doing research on Intel, but just based on the fact that they're up 47% in earnings, that's something that basically I'm taking a flyer on just to see where it goes. I might not necessarily invest as much as I will in the other companies because, like you, I plan to actually invest, in these companies. So this may be one that I may not invest as much, but I'm hoping that there may be some actual growth and something gained there, because the one thing about moving forward is there will be technological advances. It's just figuring out which ones are going to be the hits and which ones are going to be the misses. The company I'm paying attention to, but I'm not necessarily going to invest in as of yet, but I'm curious in, it's called Sangoma Therapeutics. They treat genetic diseases. It's a regulatory agency in the UK. It's basically cell therapy. The share price is currently $24.25. The market cap is $2.9 billion. So when it comes to stem cell research and things like that, that's something I'm always been curious about. And this is a stock I'm going to follow just to see where we go with it. I don't know if I'm actually going to invest in it as of yet, but it's something I'm going to follow maybe in the next 3 months or so. And in the next 3 months, I'll make a decision whether or not I actually want to invest in. But it's something I'm just paying attention to right now to see if there is an actual potential there, if it's something that's going to come and go.
No, I really like that Intel pick. I remember when I was in college, I always had roommates that used to build computers, and they were always a fan of AMD, especially due to their flexibility, higher-end cards for gaming performance. But as a non-PC gamer, Intel was where my familiarity was utilizing the Windows system. that oftentimes that's the industry standard. And every time AMD comes back a little, it seems like Intel grabs that space directly back. So I'll be following that one as well. I didn't even realize that chart in their recent growth that they've had. And as customers are moving away from desktops, Intel has found a way to diversify and make sure they stay in front of people, especially on the corporate level, with systems that companies are using and making sure that's an Intel product. And they're touting their reliability.
So I'm curious to see with these picks that we have, because once again, we say this every time we make our picks, but you can see the evolution. Like for people that heard us when we made our first picks versus our second picks versus now, it's more of a balance there. Like you're picking different companies that will ultimately level everything out. You hope that everything is successful, but it's a plan in place versus just closing your eyes and pointing to the board and hoping you pick right. Now it's more of an educated guess, and it's more of a plan and a strategy with what we're doing. And it's starting to become more evident as we start to pick more and more. So, Chris, I like your picks, man. Like, you actually went through and did the research, but also these are the kind of picks that you can actually hopefully get a return on, which is the whole goal in the first place.
And, you know, actually right now, I'm not even looking for significant returns. I particularly always kept part of my investment account liquid for situations like this until where there's a market downturn. I could get into either more shares in a company that I'm already invested in or get in, just find another opportunity. This has presented that time frame. At the same time, since the product goes down, there's so much variability in the market right now. And so there's so much volatility that I'm really not even trying to make a true profit. If I finish at that rate of inflation at 2%, I'll be happy. Truly, like we always say, our goal is to beat the S&P 500. If you're not beating the S&P 500, it probably reflects that you need more balance in your book. And you should probably get a couple of ETFs to balance out what you already have. So I really like your picks as well with Ollie's. I'm going to have to look up that company more. Comcast, I'll be following it. They still get my money every month. I haven't moved to AT&T Fiber yet. O'Reilly's Auto Part and Intel. This is going to be exciting.
Yeah, I think the time that we took away was actually beneficial because the market went through what it went through, but it gave us time to reflect, to kind of see where the trend lines are going and change our thought process going into the new year.
Oh, I definitely agree. Like, that's not how we planned it originally, but it's definitely, I think, going to work out, give us a different perspective. As it's easy to invest when everything's just going up. Now it's putting truly what we learned to test so we can understand why our products are moving the way they are. And are they built for the long-term investment or should I just look for the short-term gains in these industries? So this is my second entry into retail, looking at Dollar Tree. There's some other stocks that are performing really well in there. TJ Maxx has come back down. There are some concerns that their growth rate is a little too big and they're going to have too many debt liabilities as related to leases on the book as they're trying to grow more than 4% a year. But you hear about Burlington, their numbers are phenomenal right now. And they're established. You almost forget that Burlington exists until the holiday time or shopping time or you need a bag. But they sell so many other products. Neither of those am I invested in anymore. I'm not invested in Burlington. It's just something that I have noticed and reflected there.
All right. What used to be Burlington Coat Factory is now just Burlington.
Just
Burlington. Good luck trying to find a coat.
Yeah, then that's amazing to see their growth. But I did want to go over some other stories if you had some time.
By all means, sir, yes.
Okay. And so, we recently, late President H.W. Bush, former CIA boss, as well as president of another father of another president, passed away on Friday. So in honor of the late President Bush, the stock markets are going to shut on Wednesday. The American stock market on Wednesday, December 5th, will not be active. So please be aware of that as you're investing. You're going to notice that stopping. I feel like this is reasonable. Being that it's a president, there should be a recognition of that. Of the service to the country.
It's a good thing you pointed that out, because a lot of people probably wouldn't have known that. Because, I mean, there are going to be different things on the news regarding the president and his passing, but I don't know if it's going to make the headlines that starts going to shut down on Wednesday. So that's actually good news to know in advance.
Yeah. And speaking on the president, China and the U.S. declare a 90-day halt to new tariffs. This is coming out of Yahoo Finance. The White House, there is the summit going on in Argentina at the G20 meeting. The White House said on Saturday that President Donald Trump told President Xi Jinping of China in the high-stake talks in Argentina that he would not boost tariffs on $200 billion of Chinese goods to 25% on January 1st. That was previously announced. Beijing, for its part, agreed to buy an unspecified but very substantial amount of agriculture, energy, industrial, and other products that the White House said in a statement. The two sides would also launch new trade talks to address issues including technology transfer, intellectual property, non-tariff barriers, cyber theft, and agriculture, it said. If no deal is reached within 90 days, both parties agreed that the 10% tariff will be raised to 25%, the White House said. As exasperated as you are, I am too, especially at that last line, that there is a deadline on this talk. Not to even be rude, I'm kind of impressed that our president is being diplomatic.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's hopefully.
He's in that direction.
Yeah, on a part, this whole G20, he's been fairly silent. I'm not sure if that has to do with the change in the House or if it has to do with the farmers, the concerns that the farmers' payments on the soy crop has only amounted to less than $1 billion of the 18 promised $1 billion. But this is progress. And even if the president doesn't admit he's wrong but rolls back the tariffs, that's a benefit for the entire economy and for jobs, especially with the announcement that Ford is closing their plants and GM is closing plants in three states, and they're going to do what Ford is doing and limit the amount of brands they're making. The Cruise is gone. The Volt is gone. They're probably going to be removing a couple of Cadillacs. They're going to be limiting certain Buicks strictly to the Asian market where it's very popular. That's a big change.
And it's going to have some – those changes are going to have some real ramifications moving forward. Like, we might ask him, in the next month or so. But moving down the line, there are really going to be some ramifications for this regarding the economy, regarding jobs. So if we can get this ironed out and avoid going from 10% to 25%, that will make a big difference. And hopefully talks can work in a positive direction, because people hear these numbers and they may not think it's going to directly affect them, but whenever something affects one part of the country, it affects other parts as well. It's a trickle down effect. And one thing we don't want to do is go from 10% to 25%. That's something that I don't think anybody wants to see happen. Hopefully diplomacy and the ability to agree to disagree but come to a common consensus is the goal. And we can start to stabilize and get things in order. That's what I would hope, but we'll see.
Yeah. And recently shopping, We've been thinking about doing repart of our kitchen and just looking at the appliances, seeing the price difference in less than a year of a stove that I've been looking at for a while. And by all factors, it's related to the tariffs that they're made overseas. Now it costs more to bring them in, and that's being passed on to the consumer. So even with the tax breaks that went through and went into effect for the middle class, which many Americans celebrated that extra $25 a paycheck, congratulations, that's definitely a benefit. But with the cost of goods going up, it still might be a net loss unless we get a hold of this tariff war. That the average family, if you're getting $25 more on a paycheck, but your groceries cost more every week, what benefit is that really? One thing I will say is fairly interesting as it relate to that net benefit that's coming from or that might not be realized. Up until recently, the gas prices were pretty high. Soon after the support of the Crown Prince Salman, that's a bit when the prices came down as Saudi Arabia did flood the market, even though it happened after the election. This is a relief for many Americans' families that had that $25 savings and are now seeing it on their gasoline when usually this is the time of year it spikes again for the holidays.
That's a fair point, Chris, because I assume coming – because with the Thanksgiving holiday, I assume gas prices are going to soar. But being someone that's starting to see gas below $2 for regular, that's something we haven't seen in quite some time. Or if we have, I don't remember. So that's
I can't
point.
Even think of the last time. So you're absolutely right on that aspect.
Other than watching Twister. If you watch the movie Twister, gas is like 99%. That's the last time I remember seeing something that low.
Right. I remember that was the year before I bought my first car. And after that, it went to 130 something or 118, 130. And as a teenager, I was like, that difference of 33 cents was heavy.
It makes a difference.
That was heavy as a teenager. And that was one tank maybe every week, every 2 weeks. But whew, that hurt.
You feel it either way.
And so the last story, and this one's fun. Media influencers are really a thing, and I'm not just talking about the Kardashians. They're just celebrities that happen to be online all the time and use their influence to make extra money. But talk to your kids, and you realize there's so many influencers you have never heard of, whether it's because they're watching YouTube, following them on Instagram, following them on Twitter. You couldn't point them out of a lineup if they were standing right in front of you. But these people matter because of their followings, whether it's basketball players like Zion Williams, or maybe it is the Kardashians with their millions of followers, or Jim Bob online. And I made Jim Bob up. Jim Bob Cooter. So, Payless took over a former Armani store, renamed it Palessi, and sold partygoer shoes, typically priced at $20 to $40 at an inflated designer price tag of $200 to $600.
Wait. Can you say that name one more time? Because I think it's hilarious.
Payless took over the former Armani store and renamed it Palessi and sold the same shoes you'll get out of Payless shoe stores.
At an inflated price, and people bought it and thought they were buying high quality.
Not only bought it, posted it online that they bought it. So some of these influencer events, they give them money to show up with the expectation that you're going to spend it right back on the event. But then they also want you to say something when you're like, hey, sponsored, I'm out here at Palessi, check out this new store. I got these fly shoes, and they're Payless.
This is amazing to me for the simple fact that it's perception. It's the presentation to alter your perception of what you're consuming. Because I put a name on it, because it's in a high-end store, the same product that you would frown upon in Payless, you would never be caught dead buying in Payless. You're buying at an inflated rate and going on social media being proud about it. I just wish I could see that for the reveal. Like when it was revealed that Palessi is actually Payless. some old shoes you got there for $600. Actually, pay less shoes. I just want to get your feedback, sir. What do you think about that?
I'm thinking this is a great marketing move on so many levels. One of the factors the CEO does identify the parties like, we haven't had momentum for years. They are a Dallas-based private company with a net income of $97 million. Company filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in 2017, resulting in plans to liquidate 400 stores across the nation, and had $100 million due in debt obligations over the next 5 years. So their margins are razor thin, which makes me think this is much more than just a branding stunt. This is advertising for them, that we could run a national advertisement during basketball, baseball, football, Young and the Restless, or we could make this article to get across. And if we get 1 out of 10 people to say, huh, this store online, because the picture's online, the store, the layout's very nice, it's very open, the shoes are highlighted, maybe I should take a consideration and personally go and buy some shoes. And if that works for 1 out of 10 consumers, this is a branding success for them.
And going into the holiday season, I mean, it can't hurt. We're going into the Christmas season, so any attention or anything that brings notoriety to what you're trying to do can only help.
Especially in such a crowded marketplace, because it used to be Payless was that place. But now you have Target that has their own contracts and own brands. You have Walmart that has their own brands. Shaq is the best-selling sports shoe ever just because of the volume he's pushed through there. And And1 is there as well. But there's all these other brands. So maybe it's just not in the consciousness because people are still buying that price point. But Payless has an opportunity to re-enter the market and just be, hey, let me even look up where the closest Payless is because I haven't been in 20 years. And that's a benefit. But how dope would it be if like 1 out of every 30 stores, they actually kept this experience as Payless, provided cheap sparkling wine while you shopped? Sure, the margins would go down, but it might bring people back to your store who haven't experienced in a while. Because I'll be honest, I don't make enough money to send my wife to like our Giorgio Armani where they lock the doors and they give her as much champagne as she wants and she just picks stuff off the shelf. But I feel like this could be a fun experience if this was even a pop-up shop that traveled. If people are like, hey, let's go check out Payless. We know it's a joke, but we might find something. At the very least, we get to drink some Jay Rosé.
It's not only the experience, it's the interaction with the people. It's the once again, another ride that can come from it. And like we said before, I mean, people feel a way about Payless, but a lot of the shoes that are there, the same quality as other places you go buy shoes for a lot more. There isn't very much difference between the shoes you get from Payless versus shoes you pay X amount of dollars for elsewhere. And being someone who wore Soda Pops, those were the shoes that coming up as a kid were called like the Ninja Turtle shoes and all that and whatnot from Payless, you know. I'm having nostalgic vibes right now going in and getting my Donatellos, you know.
I'm still feeling it in my soul because my mom was an avid Payless shopper. And, you know, every kid, you want the fly shoes. I definitely wanted the Jordans. I definitely wanted the Magic Johnson Converse. I wanted all of them. My mom refused to spend that money. And that's back when Jordans were under $100. She'd bring me to Payless and get those Akeem Olajuwon Spaldings with the padded leather on it.
Oh, wow.
Needless to say, I wore them once to school.
Wow. Like young Van. Was it Van on Atlanta with the fake FUBU?
Yes. With the jersey? Very similar to that, because it was the year after the padded leather Space Jam Jordans.
Ooh.
When Akeem Olajuwon had those. But they were affordable. They were Akeem. It was like they're a champion. How could they laugh at you? Yeah, kids are cruel. Never forget that when you have your own kids, that kids are cruel. And I know I played myself by saying yes. I should have fought on that hill and died on it or just got some regular Nikes. But after that, I was able to upgrade the Sean Kemps. That was my mom's new line after that. So not quite the Jordan, but hey, they're Sean Kemps. I'll take it. I was a fan.
We are really aging ourselves right now, but those Sean Kemps went hard.
Man, the zip-up Sean Kemps?
Yeah.
That was the best addition. Then he got traded to Cleveland, and it was a wrap.
Yep. Then he got fat. So, yeah, I get what you're saying.
But, yeah, those are the stories I have. What do you have, Ella?
What was the story I wanted to bring up? There was a story I read. Hold on a sec. Bear with me. Chris, let me get to that story. Let me bring the story up next week. This is why she called me. I guess downstairs I need to go get stuff.
All right. I'll speak to you later. Welcome to Verb Back to Town. Thank you for joining us on Fees Always Win. We have a website coming soon. Please leave a review on iTunes. We thank you for listening, and please feel free to email us if you have questions. FeesAlwaysWin@gmail.com. Thank you. I'm Chris. That's the Scion of the Delta, Ello, and he has to go, and me too.
All right, Chris.
All right, bye. Tell Kiki hi.
I surely will. All right.
The opinions expressed on the show do not reflect the thoughts of our respective employers, family, or podcast network. We are not licensed by the FTC or SEC. Before acting on information on the website or from the show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstance and seek advice from your own financial or investment advisor.